people that watch you on video, they're processing not just what you're saying, but your facial expressions, your tone of voice, your body language. They're making all these little micro judgments and deciding whether or not you're credible. And that is extremely powerful when you're able to scale that. There's something that video can do that no other format can.
Great events create great brands. But pulling off an event that engages, excites, and connects audiences? Well, that takes a village. And we're that village. My name is Alyssa.
I'm Rachel.
I'm Camille.
And I'm Felicia.
And you're listening to Great Events, the podcast for all event enthusiasts, creators, and innovators in the world of events and marketing.
We all know the saying that people buy from people. And in B2B, that trust is still built in moments that matter, at events and in conversations, face-to-face. But those moments do not start and stop there anymore. And sometimes video is even the first handshake where buyers discover you and decide if you're even worth their time. Other times, it's what keeps you in a good relationship. It's what keeps that relationship going between events, scaling connection beyond the room. Because today's buyers don't just want information. They want confidence, they want proof, and they want to trust who they're buying from. And video makes that visible, and AI is accelerating just how far that trust can reach. I'm Felicia Asedu, and welcome back to the Great Events Podcast. Today, we are diving into how human connection, events, and AI-powered video come together and what that means for modern marketing leaders. Now, if I just prattled on for the next half an hour, I'm sure you'd be bored. So I'm pleased to say I have my co-host, Camille.
Hello, everyone.
We are both joined by Kelly Cheng, who is the CMO of Goldcast, who is now with Cvent. Woohoo! Hi, Kelly.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. Just a quick introduction. My name is Kelly Cheng. Like Felicia said, I am the CMO of Goldcast, which is now part of Cvent. Goldcast is an AI-powered video content platform for B2B marketers. So we help companies run webinars, events, and podcasts, and then use AI to turn those pieces of content into clips and blogs and social posts, all of it. So I basically live and breathe this topic every single day. So I'm just really excited to jump in.
Well, we're so excited to have you here, Kelly.
Absolutely. So we're going to start with this notion of trust in modern B2B. That's where we're going to kick off because we're running our trust campaign all across the second quarter of this year. And it's really noisy out there. That's why we started to think about what are we seeing? What do we trust? We see Soar AI videos and you're laughing away and then you get all embarrassed because you realize you've just laughed at an AI video. But like, what do you think is happening right now with audiences and this notion of trust and trusting what they see online?
I think you put it perfectly. We don't have a content problem. We have a trust problem. I don't know over the weekend if you saw that TMZ had posted a photo of, I think it was Justin Bieber, like pushing Usher and everyone's speculating like what's going on, what are they fighting about? And it turns out it was AI generated. So there's all this chatter going on over a journalistic company like TMZ posting something that's completely fake. So I think that's exactly what the audience is feeling. It's like they don't know what to trust because AI is making all the content feel so real. But, you know, I think when you think about B2B, buyers buy from people. People buy from people. Authenticity is really where B2B brands can really, really be their superpower, is how to become authentic, how to show the human behind your brand. And so I think authenticity is a huge challenge right now, especially with AI. And I think it's an edge for brands to really lean into the human authentic side.
I couldn't agree more. And I know, like Camille, when we're looking at our content strategy at Cvent and we're looking at what are we going to create, we know we've heard so much that video is the one that cuts through and that's where we get all the data back. So why do you think that is? Like, I mean, I sit on videos all the time. Are we just not reading anymore? Is video the source now?
I have some thoughts, but I'd really love your take. My guess is that video makes more sense in this landscape where trust is really hard to come by and it must be earned, but so does attention also has to be earned because there's the trust side of this increase or this surge of content generation that is possible now with AI, which is a great thing in a lot of ways. But you also have to balance that with, like you said, how are you still making sure that you are really building in an authentic way, building that content in an authentic way, sharing it in an authentic way so that it still feels like there's a very human aspect to your brand and the content that you're sharing, but also our attention spans are so short. So I think video does make sense because as a consumer, as a potential buyer, right, as just a human myself, if I already am not trusting or potentially not trusting content that I'm seeing come across my phone or my laptop, whatever, whatever device I'm on, then, and if I have a very short attention span, video seems a smart channel or medium to lean into because you can hook people much faster, probably build that trust quicker than you could if I'm going to go and read a blog, right? I might say like, wait, who authored this blog? Obviously, that's easier to maybe see at the outset, but then I might question, well, was this AI generated? And like, who owns the AI that generated that? Like, who's controlling that? Like, then I go into this spiral of like, can I trust this blog post that I just read? Or can I trust this article that I just read? And so I'd love your take on like more traditional written form of content or other forms and video and what how you see them playing together or where video is winning out today in like everything I just talked about, the trust, all of that.
So many thoughts here. Let me think through where to start. I mean, I think overall, any marketer's job today is to, you know, sell a product, whether you're a consumer business or business-to-business business. And the challenge that marketers have is how do you get attention when there's so much content out there? Like, what do I have to do to put something on a feed that stops the scroll? Like, that is, right. You know, show-stopping just because there's so much out there. And there's a ton of research out there that talks about, you know, scientific how your brain processes information. It takes a lot longer for a human to read, comprehend, and digest text than to consume a video message. It's a much direct point into sort of ingestion of information when you're talking about video. And so I think that's where video really wins. It's not to say that there's not a place for written content, because there is, but video is extremely powerful because when you're talking about authenticity, like we were just talking about, it shows the human behind these thoughts and behind the words. And I think that video offers something that no other format really can offer, which is allowing you to transfer trust at scale. Because when you're recording a video, whether it's doing a live video or pre-recorded, people that watch you on video, they're processing not just what you're saying, but your facial expressions, your tone of voice, your body language. They're making all these little micro judgments and deciding whether or not you're credible. And I think video allows you to do that in a much linear, quicker way. And that is extremely powerful when you're able to scale that. I'm a huge fan of video. As a marketer, I lean into the other formats of content as well. Ebooks, love them all day, but there's something that video can do that no other format can.
I love to hear that. Like, and the reason why I asked the question was because I was thinking about that authenticity that we used to lean on, reports, white papers, statistics. Like, we would really heavily lean on those things as marketers and still kind of do. They are the foundation of the content that we build. I would say getting first party data, putting out a piece of research and being able to say, yes, this is what people think and feel. I wonder, does that still build a level of credibility? And I think the answer is yes, because when you look at content, but I'm open to suggestions, ladies, because when you look at content that is built without substance, even if it's video, I do wonder, does it eventually, especially from a B2B lens, if it's B2C or if it's more, you know, fun, entertainment, that's one thing. But from a B2B lens, I am wondering, without that sort of credible baseline, can video stand and cut through by itself? Or does it need that like foundation of maybe the event itself happening or the report itself happening? What do you think?
Personally, I think they work hand in hand together. Like, my favorite sort of content execution pieces is having a topic or subject matter expert being able to talk about, like you're saying, like a report of first party data, and having a experience like a webinar or a live event stage and being able to capture that on video and then scaling it out, because the data is extremely important and great, great content to build on, but the delivery is also equally as important and the scalability of it as well. One of my favorite use cases of using video and events and data-backed research reports.
I totally agree, Kelly. And I think it's even more important, Felicia, in this AI landscape, because when I think about a digital marketing strategy, we don't have to just think about SEO now. I have to think about GEO. So having those reports with that first-party research or data, that lends itself to building credibility, which helps build trust and helps reinforce your voice, whether you're an individual or you are representing an organization, right? It builds that authenticity. So I think I agree, Kelly, like they all kind of have to work together. And I think now more than ever, you have to consider all of these different aspects of your marketing strategy. It's how your content comes together and, you know, is fueled from your events, or sometimes events end up fueling your content too, like we just talked about, right? And the relationship is really becomes essential if you want to beat out your competition in 2026 and beyond.
I want to highlight something that you're saying, the trust piece and authenticity piece. Like, there's a statistic out there that, you know, I've repeated a lot and it's been talked about a lot these days, and that's the 95-5 rule. I don't know if you've heard of it. 95% of your audience is not in market to buy. Only 5% is. That's a tiny sliver of your ICP and your personas that are actually ready to swipe their credit card and buy whatever you're offering. And so there's this whole huge runway, this 95% of people that are just consuming information, waiting for the time that they're ready to buy. And we live in a very competitive landscape when it comes to software and all other categories. And so the challenge for marketers isn't to just capture that 5%, but it's to build that interest over time, build that trust over time. Because when I'm in the market to buy something, I'm going to go with the brands that I already know and trust. And so it's my job as a marketer to build that trust. So when that time comes, it is an easy decision to go with whatever solution for a demo versus have to compete from the very beginning. And video does a really, really great job of that, compounding with all the other content pieces and being able to repurpose that and package it up for audiences to be exposed to at scale, because video is expensive. When you think about traditionally produced video, it takes video teams, specialized skill sets, agencies, equipment to actually get videos out there. And AI now makes it a lot easier to scale video, not just create, but actually scaling and getting it to the screens and hands of everyday buyers.
Let's just dig in there. You gave me so much. I was like, oh, that's a good point. Oh, that's a good point. But I'm going to start with your last one about AI at scale. Let's give some practical tips already. What do you mean by that?
When I'm talking about AI right now at scale, it's how do you scale authentic video, not video that is inauthentic, maybe completely AI-generated video. And so the way that I see it is that you have these great, great sourced videos. Maybe they're from a live event, maybe they're from a webinar, but this is prime. Like, how often do you get uninterrupted 60 minutes, maybe 30 to 60 minutes of a subject matter expert talking about something that's in their wheelhouse? And if you record it and you just put that long form video and put it on a shelf, very few people are actually going to watch it. And so that is not video at scale. When I talk about using AI to produce video at scale, it's taking that original authentic source media and using AI to help your process for creating that at scale. So that may be, you know, getting captions or having a full transcript. Before, you'd have to actually type it all out and have to rewatch the webinar 3 to 4 times to actually get those timestamps that you want to clip up. Now AI can do all that for you. You can speed that all up. Maybe even with just a click of a button. With Goldcast, you can do it. But there's so many other tools out there that you can actually leverage to use AI to help produce that. And so from one like source video of 30 to 60 minutes, you can create long-form written content. You can create a playlist of YouTube clips. You can put together your entire social media calendar with your subject matter expert front and center and have that impression level be in front of that many more people than just someone who might be watching your on-demand long-form video content. And so that's what AI can help you do when I'm talking about using AI to help produce AI efficiencies at scale. It's not creating motion graphics with AI. It's actually using your source authentic content, real people, real conversations, real problems, and then using AI to help you make different cuts and get them in front of your audience much faster.
Love that. And do you feel that you need to go into the recording, let's say of that webinar, knowing that you want to have these natural chops and therefore writing the webinar to do that? Or do you think, hey, look, just run your webinar like you would have?
That's a great question. And I think that if you're just getting started, just do it. Just run your webinar as you normally would. But in my experience, it actually makes your output a lot more clean when you have your live events and webinars built for repurposing. So really think through and train your speakers rather than saying, like, when I referred to this before at the beginning of the webinar, just repeat what you said. So then that's much easier to cut out as like a 45-second clip. I think a tip that I have is having some hot takes. If you have a webinar series, make sure like the last 5 minutes of your webinar series is just hot takes. So then you have a whole playlist of hot takes from different speakers by the end of whatever series you're doing. So really, really segmentize. I think that's not a foreign concept when it comes to podcasts, but that's something that you can also bring to your webinars is to have different segments. So then it is much easier for you to repurpose down the line. But when it comes to having just like a regular conversation that's kind of unscripted and just going with it, AI can help you transcribe everything. Our AI Goldcast helps ingest and understand what's being talked about. So then the AI generated clips actually are relevant, not just weird snippets here and there. So AI has come a long way when it comes to contextualizing information, but it certainly helps when you have sort of like a framework to go against. But if you're just getting started, I would suggest recording it and then uploading it to a platform like Goldcast and see where it takes you.
Nice. Experimentation is the key. Camille, have you been experimenting with AI in content, like with Goldcast or anything? Or are we still at the beginning, do you think?
I do think Goldcast is such an easy way to get started because, like Kelly said, even if you're like, okay, I'm really in the experimentation learning phase right now, I don't know if I'm ready to like jump in with both feet, you could literally take, you know, your last few months or quarters of webinars on demand, as Kelly said, throw them into Goldcast, see what comes out, and use that as kind of like your training ground so that you can understand like, okay, with this webinar, we had like this kind of structure. Goldcast helped me pick out these clips. And there's so much you can do with the repurposing, by the way, like truly it becomes your content flywheel engine. So clips for YouTube are great. Those can be repurposed on social. You can think about written content channels. Maybe you want to start a Substack. Maybe you're going to get more into Reddit and you need like topics and things to talk about like really quickly. All of that technically could be pulled and generated from just one single webinar. And then when you think about if you do one major webinar a month, just 12 webinars in a year, the content that creates, sorry, I'm going off on a tangent because it's just actually mind-blowing what you can do with it. But yeah, I spent pretty much all weekend in my own little solo AI experimentation lab. I'm playing around with different tools. I'm figuring out how I can set up agents for myself. And that's, I think, kind of the next level. Once you feel comfortable like using like easy to use AI tools, it could be Goldcast. Maybe you're using something like a Claude and or ChatGPT at the same time to kind of help you with, you know, planning your events, and you're even putting your repurposing plan together, which is so smart. Go into it with a plan first. It's so much easier. Future you will thank yourself, past you, if you do that.
The concept of repurposing any like video or event content is not new. They've been trying to do this for ages. And the thing that's changed here is that it's just gotten a lot easier. So it's not an excuse anymore not to repurpose. Because before, you'd have to have the hours and the manpower and the budget to be able to do all of the little tasks that are associated with repurposing. I remember before we created Content Lab, our AI tool for repurposing, we did this manually. And the checklist was massive, right? It just allows marketers to actually do it themselves versus having to outsource and have a budget line item for it. It's just much, much more streamlined now. So repurposing is not new. It just, the AI part is sort of like the new in the process that makes it just that much more achievable. Because I've talked to marketers that have been like, oh yeah, you know, I wish I could, I wish I had the time. That's no longer an excuse. Do it, because it'll benefit your content strategy, your pipeline generation, all of it. That's just the one thing I want to say is like, this is not a new concept. Marketers have been doing this a very long time, but it's just now much more achievable.
I completely agree with you. I mean, hey, look, one of my first jobs in life was logging videotapes that we had recorded on set because I thought I wanted to work in the media, right? And years later, when I was almost doing the same thing for case studies, testimonials that we'd recorded, for hour-long sessions that we'd had on site, and I found myself almost regressing, logging, oh, that was an interesting point. Oh, that was an interesting moment. And it just took so much of my time up, and then having to feed that into our, you know, teams and our video, our videographers moved on, our editor's doing something else. And you're just like, no, come back. Remember that event we had? I need you to cut up that video that we had from the event. It's just, no, I think no one's got the time for it. So this is definitely the way forward for people that are being asked to use more AI. This is one of the easiest things you can do, because you're not really having to figure out how to do the coding that's going to get this done or sit there logging. You just kind of have to work with the tool, just click your buttons and say, hey, find me those interesting moments, suggest the chapters we could have. And it's pretty much done from what I've seen. I don't want to oversimplify it.
Yes. But I'm not saying that there's no place for overproduced, highly produced video content, because there is. If you are at your in-person conference and you have a sizzle reel for a big product demo that you're trying to do, yes, your video resources should be focused on that, because that is really where the wow factor comes in. I promise you, your video editor, freelancer, agency is not itching to help you cut up your podcast, because they'd rather spend their time on like the big, high production, high impact pieces, which still are really, really important. It's just really, really helping them focus and not having to deprioritize the webinar cuts, because now you can do it yourself, which is every marketer's dream. Because another challenge I've had is you have this great 45, 60 minute webinar with a lot of great content in it. You pass it off to your video editor to say, I just want some clips, like 5 or 6 clips from this video. The video editor is not a marketer. They don't know what to clip up. And so it's back on the marketer to have to contextualize everything. And so there's just so many different roles that now AI helps alleviate, democratizes the power to the marketer and not have to rely on these resources that honestly are just better focused elsewhere. It's not to say that highly produced video has no place in marketing or B2B marketing. There absolutely is. I'm just saying that there's something to be said about underproduced videos, creating that authenticity from your live webinar or live event experiences that really translates the best when it's not overproduced.
Yeah. And are you, as a marketer within the tool, are you feeding it like, hey, if you ever hear this, this is important for me? Or if you, or is it machine learning? Like how could it know those moments?
So we have like a brand kit where you can kind of figure out or teach the AI how to write in different tones and voices, whether it's a thought leader in your company, maybe it's your CEO, or maybe it's a blog content that needs to have more corporate writing styles. The brand guide will, you know, teach the AI how to do that. What we have built in Content Lab is the prompting aspect. So exactly what you're saying. If I'm trying to create a blog post from this webinar and I want these particular SEO keywords highlighted and really, really optimized towards those keywords, I can build that into the prompting.
Oh, wow. Fantastic.
That's so cool.
Yeah. I'm just sitting here learning. I'm like, yeah, this is great. Let's hit back to authenticity. I want people to walk away from a podcast like this thinking, I can go and do this, right? So when you're thinking about, I want to talk about, in fact, let's talk about two things. We'll talk about authenticity and then measuring and results to prove the point that this works, right? So on the first side, if you're an event organizer running an event, co-working with your marketer crew who are like, I need this highly produced stuff, but you're like, but actually I don't have time for that either, because the event planners are on the hook here too. They've got event budgets to fulfill. They've only got one camera in the room and one audio plugin. So they're just like, this is what we can do. How do you think then the marketers should be like, you know what, that's fine. I'll put my phone on a tripod, capture it that way. I'll get my natural social snapshots from it. Or should they be like, that's fine. People know this is from an event. Let's just stick with the back of the room camera and the audio. I'm asking you a ton here. Like, you go out and do this all the time. So sorry if I'm putting you on the spot, but I just want people to have that practical. They're going to be like, well, what do you want me to do here? Like, do I change my video setup?
So that's a really good question. I think it's important to kind of distinguish authenticity like versus video quality. They're quite different, right? When you are talking about your video quality, you're talking about how your audio sounds, how's the visual, versus, you know, authenticity is more of the content. And I think it all compounds to authenticity. It's how your video comes together. So I think as long as you have the video quality, the video, you can still hear what the speaker is saying. You don't hear the chatter or like the popcorn. That still is authentic. As long as you have that video quality tangible and intact, you can have that authenticity come through.
The last thing on that authenticity piece is scripted versus, so heavily scripted. People that work with me know I don't do that. I just can't. Someone will give me a script and be like, here's a teleprompter. If you're teleprompted, heavily scripted versus just being me off the cuff, which one would you go for? This is a question for both of you. Which one do you think is going to work best in video format?
Camille, why don't you go first?
I'm always going to go off the cuff, although I like to have a plan. So, and I come from a theater background, so like I'm comfortable working with scripts. I do my best to like know my lines and know where I'm going to take my beats, where I need to pause, where I'm going to, and that's just like how to be a good speaker, I think. But in terms of like actual message and delivering a clear message, I think if you know your message, you don't need a script. If you don't know what you're talking about, you might need a script. So I think it's in some ways, I like when I can tell people are speaking off the cuff from their mind or their heart, because it does read as more authentic to me, in my opinion. Now, that doesn't mean that every single scripted speech can't feel authentic, right? Certain politicians are really exceptional orators, and they're all speaking from a script for the most part, right? They have speech writers, right? But and teleprompters. But I don't know. I lean more towards you, Felicia. Like I know what I want to say. I have a general understanding. I might even write it out beforehand, or might review my talking points or my bullets, or if there's a specific phrasing that I know I need to land, especially as a marketer, sometimes that's really important because words matter. Then I'm going to know those lines I need to deliver. But otherwise, I'm going to try and flow through it because I think it reads as more authentic, organic. And I think that, as we've been saying throughout this conversation, that breeds credibility.
I agree with you on the plan piece. As a marketer at a virtual events webinar company, we do a lot of virtual events and webinars and bring on a lot of speakers for these events. It's really important to have speaker training and so being prepared. So having a run of show is super important so that your speakers know the expectation of what's going to be talked about. There's no surprises, but there's only so much you can prepare because you do want to end up having an authentic conversation, not something that you kind of read off of a computer screen. Because like you said, Camille, people can sniff that out in a second when you're not being yourself. The best clips I've ever gotten have always actually been from the live Q&A, when you're getting live questions from the audience that you could not have prepared for and kind of springing it on your speakers and having them just go deep into what they know and answering those questions authentically. Like, there's no planning that you can do for those types of situations. It's just because you just don't know what's going to come up. And those have always been the clips that have had the most views, most engagement, because it just feels authentic. And I'm a big fan of planning, but only to a certain point.
Preach. Yeah, I'm not advocating for winging it, people. Just to be totally clear, don't just wing it. I never recommend that.
Listen, I've done that. I've been there. It makes you sweaty.
We've all been there. We've all been there. It's just not ideal, and I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so let's get down to the last bit here, like measuring success. There's so many ways to measure the marketing outputs, MQLs, SQLs, impressions, touch points, attribution, first touch, last touch. There's so much. And I think just, you know, it can, again, be quite overwhelming, but let's talk about this from both sides. I would say from proving the value of why do we need to invest in technology to do this? Why do we need these? We've said video is important, and we've also said it's very noisy out there. So overproduction might also be frowned upon. But how do we measure and prove the success that this is what we should be doing?
Good question. Measurement's always tricky. It's always, I feel like the marketer's answer is like, well, it depends. If you're asking me how do you measure this, it's by channel. You look at it at your original webinar or event or virtual event. There's always that traditional way of measuring it in terms of leads, MQLs, pipeline, et cetera. There's derivative content that you produce out of that original source media. So say you have a webinar, you clip it up, you have a blog post about it and kind of branches out from that original source. That, I believe, is measured also based on channel, but also based off of brand traffic, because the goal is to get brand recognition from all this additional impression. So always keeping an eye on, you know, if you're doing more of these activities, is your brand traffic increasing? I'll give one example. A few years ago, we did a virtual event. It was six sessions. The title of the event was The Event Marketer's Path to CMO. We had a bunch of CMOs who started out in the event marketing space kind of talk about their journey. After the event was over, about 2 weeks after, we published an ebook. Each session was a chapter. And we promoted that ebook for actual lead downloads, cost per lead downloads. So that we were able to tangibly have a Salesforce campaign, do all the attribution measurement to pipeline. So again, it also comes back down to how the format of the piece of content that you're going out with. But that's one example where you can actually get tangible results. If you are repurposing derivative content from an original source, you can actually get very, very granular. But again, it comes down to your content strategy and plan.
I'm trying to put my maybe CFO hat on, but also some C-suite levels that are, yeah, okay, so we got more traffic. I need to close more deals. Like, I feel that sometimes there can be this gap between marketing saying, trust me, stay with me, this is going to work. That brand traffic is going to turn into deal acceleration versus them believing and buying into it. So do you think, if you had to give like one final tip here of this is how you prove the point, do you have anything to give?
Marketing teams have this challenge where they have to market and educate their buyers, but we also have to market and educate how marketing works to the internal folks like the finance teams, et cetera. And I think it's really important to use data where data is helpful. Don't just push out any data point. Make sure the data tells a story. So if you have your brand traffic, show in parallel your demo request like traffic. If there's a spike in brand traffic and you see a spike in demos, like align those two together. So then like the down funnel metrics actually help support more of like the brand storytelling metrics, because that is the thesis, right? The more brand activity you do, the more organic kind of down funnel pipeline and like details you get. And so use that to your advantage. Actually invest time working with your data teams to get those metrics. Marketers have this trap of using too many data points. I think my advice is to be picky and choosy with which ones you back yourselves with. And I think with the brand traffic, I'm a huge fan of because of all the content that we do. But also the metric that the CRO and the CFO actually cares about, that inbound demo traffic, that's where they index on, like, how do we spend to get more of those? And so you're saying we have to spend more on the content piece to build that brand traffic up. So then it trickles down to the demo traffic.
And it goes back to what you were saying earlier, Kelly, with the 9 to 5, right? Like, and I think that's your point of like, you have to sometimes do that internal education with other stakeholders to let them know how marketing works today in this day and age. And the reality is that for most companies, about 5% of your audience or your target market is actually in market to buy. So that content, all of the work that you do to get those, that brand lift, that's for the 95% of the market that you're trying to prepare to be ready to buy. I'm just connecting the dots here as you're speaking, and that just makes total sense to me what you're saying.
So ladies, I'm telling you, this is one of those conversations I could have for a long, long time because I'm so intrigued. I think I'm personally fascinated. I'm like, oh, and what about this, that, and the other? But we can't do it. We have to stop, unfortunately. But I'd like to ask you a couple of final quick questions, like just lightning round. If there's one video format that every marketer should prioritize today, what would it be?
I would have to go with, you know, short clips from real conversations. I'm a huge social person. I'm actually an introvert, but when I mean in terms of social person, I'm on social media all the time. Like, I'm trying to figure out how B2B marketing can be more like B2C marketing. I'm on TikTok, I'm on Instagram, on all the things. And short clips is really where it's super powerful because that's the hook. And there's a specific format. There's like the hook, the meat of it, and like the recap. That's great from webinars, from podcasts, from events. So I would say that is the one piece of video format that marketers should try to get towards is how do you pull out short clips from your long form content and be able to sort of multiply your output.
Love it. One common mistake teams make with video.
I have two. I think one I've already said is treating your events and your webinars as like a one and done moment in time event versus treating it like a content strategy. That is a big mistake that I see, is that not building your content strategy around your events and kind of just once you're done with it, you forget about it. The other mistake that teams have is aiming towards perfection. Again, I think I go back to the authenticity piece of it. Overproduced is not always the best answer. Sometimes underproduced outperforms the overproduced. So done is better than perfect.
Yep, love that. And do you have any one AI use case that truly drives pipeline?
Yes, I'm going to reflect back on this conversation and say content repurposing, not completely AI-generated content, but using AI to help make content repurposing more efficient and more powerful.
Love that. You have got me thinking. I'm thinking the one thing you've actually left me with is I was thinking we could use our Cvent snippets. So, you know, as an attendee, for those of you that don't know, when you are at one of our events, if one of our events is using snippets, the attendees get the snippets of the day. So they get the, this is what you heard in this session, this is what you heard in that session. I am now thinking that I could take those snippets, put them into Goldcast and say, hey, use these snippets to create the actual snippets that I can take for video.
Yeah.
Because those are written ones and I can make them videos. And that would be like AI to AI. And suddenly my job is done.
That's an agent. You've got an agent right there.
Absolutely.
Brilliant. Build the agent, take the snippets, put it in the, oh, fantastic. So yes, definitely inspired me. Thank you both so much for the conversation. It's been phenomenal. For our wonderful audience, I'm going to give you these nuggets. I'm going to say, hey, come on, you know you're doing webinars, just clip them. Clip that one webinar into 10 social videos. It can be done. It can be quickly done, especially if you use tools that already have the AI built in. Simple things, simple tips and tools, auto-generate those captions. We do. You can get it done again with the right tools. You do not have to spend time translating and transferring and transcribing and trans everything. You can use AI. AI is your friend. I know sometimes people can be cautious of it. I've heard lots of marketers saying they don't know what to do with it, but you have heard lots of tips here today. Remember, people buy from people. Take your events and let them live. And make sure that you scale with AI. You can do it. I'm putting the power back in your hands. So take it and run. Thank you so much for tuning in, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for hanging out with us on Great Events, a podcast by Cvent. If you've been enjoying our podcast, make sure to hit that subscribe button so you never miss an episode.
And you can help fellow event professionals and marketers just like you discover great events by leaving us a rating on Apple, Spotify, or your preferred podcast platform.
Stay connected with us on social media for behind-the-scenes content, updates, and some extra doses of inspiration.
Got a great story or an event to share? We want to hear from you. Find us on LinkedIn, send us a DM, or drop us a note at greatevents@cvent.com.
Big thanks to our amazing listeners, our guest speakers, and the incredible team behind the scenes. Remember, every great event begins with great people.
And that's a wrap. Keep creating, keep innovating, and keep joining us as we redefine how to make events great.